Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Steve.
All right. This episode, we're going to have a sort of a mishmash of breweries from Port Moody, the island. Where's Love Shack again?
That's on the island.
Yeah, Qualicum Beach. Yeah. Then we've got one from Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon.
Yeah, from Saskatoon. And then one from Kelowna.
Nice.
So we've got the Wood Crush Raspberry Wheat Ale from Twin Sails Brewing. It's the Helen Growlin' Love from Love Shack Libations, which is a collaboration between Howl Brewing and Saanich, and then the Growler BC.
Oh.
And then the one from Saskatchewan is the 9 Mile Legacy Anniversary Ale. It's a beer to guard, according to Untappd. And then from Kelowna, we've got the Wild Ambition Cadaver Synod Barrel-Aged Oud Bruin with Balaton Sour Cherries.
Quite the selection.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with what I think will be the easiest of these brews. So this is the Twin Sails Wood Crush.
Mm-hmm.
This one is 5% or 5.1% alcohol, 12 IBU. It's their very typical white can with the little logo. So this one's got a raspberry on it.
Yeah.
But definitely can tell their cans.
Sure can.
From anywhere. Here, you can crush first here.
Alrighty. Now, oh wow, this is pink. This has definitely got some raspberry juice in it. Holy moly. Nice pink head.
Yep.
Little hazy pink color to it.
If I remember right, I think this was a winner of an award at the
you're right.
Festive Ale up in Penticton, but also I think it's won some awards locally as well.
This did smells this win an like award raspberry.
At BC Beer Awards?
I remember. Think it might have. I'm not sure now, but I'm thinking, for some reason, I'm thinking it might have. It smells like raspberry juice.
Yep.
With a hint of beer in the background.
Yeah, maybe.
I just love the color.
It's amazing. Really pretty.
Yeah. Really, really, really cloudy. I mean,
that is a ruby grapefruit level.
Yeah, a New England ruby grapefruit. Doesn't smell like that, though. Definitely smells like raspberry.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not super sweet. It's got that kind of earthy berry thing that raspberries have.
You're right, it's not sweet.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you in the face with raspberries the way I was worried it would, actually.
Interesting, too, because
it's quite subtle in the flavor.
Yeah, there's not a lot else going on in the nose other than just raspberry.
Yeah. The flavor, you're getting the raspberry, it's there, but it's not all up in your business.
No.
There's a little bit of hop, a little bit of yeast character.
Mm-hmm.
It is not sweet at all.
Yeah, most of the sugar has been dealt with.
Yeah.
There's a little hint of sweetness.
But yeah, a little bit.
Just enough to make it fruity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people that are looking just for a straight-up fruit beer might not like this one because it's not very sweet.
No, it's not going that direction, no.
Yeah, it's
an upside
it's
for
not
it.
The same as a Rattler. Very different.
Which is just an adult juice.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I could easily crush some of these.
Yeah, it's pretty clean.
As you drink it, a little more nice. Graininess comes forth. It's not just the berry.
No,
it's like it's not super complex, but it's got enough to be just not boring.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. This is definitely more of a summer sipper for me.
Oh yeah,
hot patio. Yeah. Like you could crush a ton of these, and I would crush a ton of these.
I would certainly have a few of these.
Although I think it would be kind of one of those toss ups. Like I'd have quite a few of these, but I think like Dat Juice or something.
Mm. These would be good on any spring or summer day when the sun's shining.
Yeah.
this time of year, I'd be more inclined to go towards a cranberry version of this, but
That'd be good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
'Tis the season.
Yeah. But hey, it's good though.
Yeah. Twin Sails just makes good beer, so there's that. Yeah.
Well, they kind of took over the hazy IPA. Category over in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and then they started to take over a bit of the stout category, and then now they're getting more into the sour category.
Yeah.
Just expand.
Well, it's funny because it's a lot different than their roots, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
The first year they were open, it was all about the European
styles. Yeah, mostly German and English styles,
Which was great. I loved those styles.
And it was my least favorite brewery on the row back then, and now it is my favorite brewery on the row.
See? Yeah. It was my most favorite for quite some time.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to say who my favorite is.
I used to start over at Moody or for Halloween, Bloody Ales.
Yeah.
Moody Ales.
They did that again this year.
Yeah. And I would make my way to, you know, over to them. Yep. Now I start at Twinsdales and make my way that way instead. I was really hoping that for Halloween, Bakery Brewing, which is owned by Moody, would do something similar. Like, I would love if they kind of tied in with, like, Sweeney Todd or something, because the bakery theme. Because you could have bloody ales and then
get the meat pies going. Yeah.
Mrs. Mooney's, wasn't it Miss Mooney's or something?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I wasn't down on Brewer's Row yesterday or this week, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a little while now, actually.
But I did see the pictures on social media of the Moody ales putting up their bloody ales.
I love that. It's got to be so much work to put the damn sign up, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so I know Twin Sales won some BC Beer Awards, but I think those were mostly for their hazy IPAs, right?
This is a surprisingly slow sipper.
Yeah, it's not definitely a quaffer. It's got some flavor to it, a little complexity, so you can think about it, work on it.
Yeah, it just doesn't make me want to take big sips. Doesn't make me want to just pound it. I kind of want to sit with it.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. They won for their Flex-Mex. They won for their Late Bloomer Strawberry Hibiscus. Oh, no. That's the wrong one. Sorry.
How did I miss the Strawberry Hibiscus?
No, that's the wrong one. That was Twin Cities. Oh, okay. Sorry. So they only won for Flex-Mex and for Innovator of the Year. That was it this year.
Wow. Hmm. Huh. Jeez.
That's surprising.
It is.
They usually clean up on the IPAs category.
Yeah, Carnell and I were talking on a...
Previous episode,
yes. About this year, how it seemed there was a lot of older, established breweries that were making a comeback this year.
Yeah, definitely.
And winning awards. You know, things like R&B and places like that who are picking up awards again.
And Daggered cleaning up again.
Well, yeah, but that's always in the Belgian category. And they know what they're doing.
I read a thing recently, and supposedly they're the actual most winningest brewery in BC now.
Yeah. Oh, well. That was that top five thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was them, Brass Neck, Strange Fellas.
I can't remember,
Trying to remember who else was in there. Dang.
It always makes me amazed, too, because...
Steamworks was number five.
In previous years, because I go to the BC Beer Awards every year, and it would always seem like P49 and Central City were battling for the most awards, and they were winning a ton. They're not even in the top five of awards, which is just amazing, because they were always winning tons back in the day.
Yeah. Well, that's about consistency. You got to show up every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I always love when Daggered sweeps the category.
Yeah. First, second, and third in Belgians.
Yeah, I think Twin Sales has done with IPAs before.
Probably.
It's always amazing to see. It's so rare.
Yeah, but Daggered knows what they're doing, man. I mean, holy moly. They deserve the awards.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They don't mess around. They make beer the difficult way.
Yeah, bottle conditioning everything.
Bottle conditioned, and if it doesn't turn out, it gets thrown out, right?
Yeah,
like they've had some painful situations there.
Their most popular beer 2 years in a row at one point because it just something happened and
they were having a hard time controlling the temperatures within their bottle conditioning room.
That was one of the issues
when they expanded.
Yeah,
the air wasn't circulating properly, so different shelves were getting different temperatures, and it was really a problem. And Ben's crazy about his quality control.
Hell yeah, he is.
So he thought it wasn't going to be exactly what he wanted, so they got destroyed.
Yeah, which is really sad because it was probably still tasty.
Probably, yeah. But it's funny. I just picked up some beer for that previous episode. That were some of the gold winners, and we had the Bernabarian.
Nice,
good beer.
Yeah,
so well made, and it's versatile. Goes with a lot of food.
Definitely does.
That's got nothing to do with this Twin Sales crush.
No, it doesn't. Tangent.
So I'm going to finish this sample off so we can move on to the Love Shack.
Yeah, so this
have
is
you been to the Love Shack?
No, I have not.
So you have, right? Yeah, I had the pleasure of visiting them actually twice this year. The first time I popped in there, I met some friends, and it's an interesting space.
I would imagine.
The owner and head brewer there kind of treats it like his house or an extension of his house, and the people that are there drinking his beer are his friends, And everything's on the honor system.
Wow.
All the glassware was looked like it had been picked up at Valu Village. So, but they were interesting and different. Yeah, it was a real interesting space. If you're up in that corner of the woods, Qualicum Beach area on the island, pop in and see him. He's only open like twice a week for 4 hours at a time or something stupid. But if you can work around his schedule, check it out. It's an amazing space. Everybody we met there were fantastic people. You know, the people sitting next to us were more than happy to share their table. And they were very interested in chatting with us. They were locals, and they wanted to know why we were there and how we'd found out about this tiny little place and all that good stuff, right? So, yeah, it was a good time. I would highly recommend it to anyone who's in the area. Some of the beer was really, really good. Some of it was just okay. But at the end of the day, the atmosphere made up for everything.
Yeah.
It was well worth it.
And then again, I've never had Howl Brewing yet. I haven't been to Sandwich since they opened. And interested to see what the Growler BC had to do with this, too, because they're just the craft beer handbook.
Well, if Rob's involved, there's got to be a little bit of punk rock attitude.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm right. Kind of interested. I'm curious.
So this is the Howlin' Growlin' Love. It's 6.2% alcohol, and it is a blackberry blueberry saison with rose hip. Rose hops and petals. It's probably supposed to be rose hips and petals.
Probably.
I think that's a spelling mistake.
If there's rose hips, then there could be a little bit of tartness in there.
Could be. These ones are actually bottles for the rest of these. I'm so used to cans these days, I had to get a bottle opener.
Yeah, this is a interesting shapes bottle, too. This sort of reminds me of, I don't know, Fieldhouse or something.
Yeah, that's actually funny because we've got four beers, one can, three bottles, but none of them in the same package style.
Yeah, they're all a different shape.
Yeah. No, this makes me think of like European stylings.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, it's a classy looking bottle. Eh? So this is an interesting color.
It's almost a stubby.
This is a deep, deep orange, deep amber, almost almost like copper, like a light copper.
I really feel like the rose hips are really showing in the color there.
Yeah, that little reddish hue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, thick, white, rocky head.
Smells wow. A little tart.
It smells interesting. I'm getting floral. I'm getting spicy. I'm getting resiny. Yeah.
I'm getting a menthol. Oh, no, that's weird.
Not getting any tart, though, for me.
No. Yeah, there's something spicy in there.
The spices, yeah. And it is a saison, so.
Very interesting.
Yeah, there's, I don't know, an herbaceous spice.
Oh, that's what I'm picking up, too, is that the fruitiness notes from the yeast, from the Belgian yeast.
Not a lot of blackberry in the nose, though. I'm surprised.
Very strange.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
It's almost more blueberry than blackberry on the flavor.
That is...
I'm not getting a ton of the fruit flavors, but I'm getting a lot of that big Belgian yeast character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost bubblegummy.
And that crazy spiciness, that comes along with the malts and that.
I'm almost getting blueberry, though. I'm not getting the blackberry that it calls up, but...
I'm having trouble picking out, like, a specific fruit. I'm getting sort of a general fruity note background.
I think it's kind of because, like,
it's
like,
hiding behind the yeast notes.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm picking up more of the malt, like the crystal malts.
Yeah, sweet malt.
So all that fruit character is in behind, almost being lost.
Mm-hmm. Which is I'm actually getting it quite up front. That's funny.
The fruit?
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
Random berry.
No, very much getting like that bubblegummy, yeasty
big time
note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice spices, though. It's got... I can't pick out the rose hip, but...
Yeah, it's definitely
something going
too.
On there.
There's like a dry astringency almost that you get, and I think that might be coming from the flowers.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's definitely to style, you know, what you'd expect for that type of beer.
I like personally a little less of the bubblegummy note.
Yeah, it's pretty
for myself.
Pretty up front.
It's a little pronounced, but if you're into the heffies, this might be.
Yeah, it's definitely more towards a hef sweetness.
Yeah, this might be an interesting departure for you if that's your thing.
It's really high with the carbonation, too, eh?
It's
tiny little bubbles.
Well, and like you said, they I think off-air, but they do bottle condition their beers, right?
Well, most of their beers are, I believe. When I was there, I picked up some beer, and he made me promise that I wouldn't open it for 3 weeks. And then when I talked to Kevin from Silver Valley, he said the same thing happened to him when he was there.
Yeah.
So they're going through, they don't make a lot of beer, right? No, so they go through it pretty quick, and it's actually difficult to find everything you'd want to take home actually in a package, right?
Yeah.
So they go through their small amount of package stuff pretty quick, I'm thinking.
I believe it. Yeah, because they sound really tiny.
Yeah, it is a very small brewery, and I'm surprised they package it all, to be honest with you.
I guess if you're doing only bottle conditioned, you don't have a choice.
And honestly, I think he sells enough in the tap room that he doesn't have to sell bottles.
Probably. Although, I think, doesn't he just open bottles in the tap room?
He does. You're right. That's right. So there's no kegging or, there's no draft system.
You're absolutely right. Very similar to Wild Ambition that we're going to drink later. Basically, all their beers in the tap room are just out of bottles.
He's just going to get two like that in one.
Well, I believe he started as a home brewer too, right? Mm. So as a home brewer, that's, you know, what he knows and what he's comfortable with. I'm, as a home brewer myself, I bottle condition as well.
As we have found out, as very ignorant homebrewers, it can really get carbonated when you're bottle conditioning.
If you know
Evan Doan, I don't know if his now wife was very happy with me when my beer hit the ceiling.
My wife was thankfully not too unhappy with it when my beer hit her in the face.
While pregnant. Yes.
Yeah. Bottle conditioning is a little bit of an art form.
Although, we had 4 1-liter bottles, and two of them were really well carbonated.
They were spot on.
Spot on. And two of them were explosive.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if something more than yeast got in there.
No, because they tasted just the same.
Really?
Yeah, just a little more carbonated. Okay. I think it was just they were in the bottle a little bit longer.
And interestingly enough, we bottle conditioned 2 bottles at your place and 2 bottles at my place, and we each wound up with 1 overcarbonated bottle.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't quite understand it.
Although, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Our next batch of homebrew, we decided to carbonate in our Growlerworks UK, and that worked way better.
Ah, that worked really well.
No explosions there.
No, that worked out really well, actually. Yeah, it did. Surprised.
We got a homebrew again, because it's been a while.
Jeez.
Our third batch, the thermometer broke inside, and it smelled amazing. We had to throw it out. We were pissed off. We haven't done it since.
That was my bad.
You get some red alcohol in there?
It was cooling down. We were cooling the mash. We had just gotten, it was almost there, and I was wanted to stir it just a little. I was a dumbass and broke the thermometer.
And it was an amazing smelling oatmeal stout.
Fantastic.
I probably would have bottled it and drank it anyways.
We thought about it, but it was the glass shards. We didn't have the greatest filter system. Yeah. So
it's hard for those pieces of glass to make it all the way up the siphon and all the way into the bottle. Come on.
Knowing now, actually, you can handle surprisingly a surprising amount of glass going into your system.
I bet. Especially if the pieces are big.
Yeah, no. Look at the old Carnival light bulb eaters.
Yes.
Check out there.
It's just silica. You just got to grind it real hard between the molars. But silica
dust is actually really bad for you.
No, apparently
it passes through.
Apparently the trick is the sizing. You don't want it too big, so it shreds your throat. But if it gets too small, then it starts perforating your intestines. So there's a sweet spot, apparently.
It's all about the size of the grit.
The things you know.
So I thought if you just chewed it down fine enough, it would just be a powder.
I suspect you can't chew it down too fine, like just with your teeth anyway, so whatever you could chew up, you'd be fine with. But
okay, Jaws.
I mean, you might not have any teeth after a few years, but
the teeth would probably be there. It's the gums that'd be gone.
pumice, I guess. Yeah, so you'd be wearing them down.
Oh my, that went weird places.
Okay, so the Love Shack, damn good beer. Go there. It's a good experience. And if you're in Qualicum Beach, stop in at D's Bar, too.
Yeah.
They got a good selection and good food.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the next beer. A couple years back, I was in Saskatoon for work, and I actually did an interview with the owner of 9 Mile Legacy. So it's actually in our previous episodes, if you go back. It's a really neat little brewery. It started out being in a farmer's market or something, and then they got to a bigger location, which is still tiny. And this is their anniversary ale for 2019.
which we think might be a beer to God.
Yeah, and it's 7.2% alcohol.
Ooh.
I've had this for a little while now. It used to be on their website what style it was and everything, but it's no longer in bottles at the brewery. A friend of mine and her sister went to Saskatoon to go see Elton John because it was cheaper to drive to Elton John in Saskatoon than it was to see him in Vancouver. So luckily she stopped in and got some beer for me. And this is the one I saved for the podcast.
Nice.
A lot of good memories of Saskatoon. It's a surprisingly nice city.
I had a good time. I was only there for an afternoon. Or no, I was there for most of a day for work. So I did most of it working, and then I went to a couple breweries, and then almost got stuck there because there was a windstorm.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I remember and, talking about that.
If the wind was not blowing with the plane, we would have been grounded because there were 90 kilometer an hour gusts or something. But luckily, it was going with the plane, so we could take off.
So it was down the runway, not yes, across the runway. Yes.
That color on this is gorgeous.
Gorgeous. That is a...
What would you call that?
I don't know, like a almost burnt caramel?
It's a deep orange. I would call it maybe, I don't know, mahogany.
Nice legacy in the glass.
Smell that.
It's gorgeous looking. Oh, I smell malt. Oh, I smell lots and lots of malt.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my beer.
Wow, that smells like an English beer.
Yeah, maybe a hint of alcohol in the back. But yeah, it's definitely lots of malt. It's quite sweet on the nose.
Yeah, touch boozy, but kind of in a good way.
Maybe
a hint of orange peel or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, that smells
a little bit
rich.
Of toffee.
Oh, yes, that smells so rich.
Taste that. That is good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like brown sugary.
Yeah.
Toffee. Yeah.
Molasses.
Yes. Molasses.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah. Oh.
It's almost like a toned down version of an English barley wine.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite as in your face, but it's
session
got a
barley
of
wine
profile.
Session barley wine. I like that.
7.2%. You know, it should be 9 to 12 or whatever for a barley wine. So
yeah, you almost want like
wow,
like rum balls with this or something.
Mm. It's definitely got that flavor that reminds me of, you know, sitting in front of a fire in a leather chair sipping.
Could you imagine this with a bit of smoke to it?
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be interesting. It's definitely got that dry fruit, the raisin, and that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, it's got a lovely, lovely caramel little note that I'm digging this. This is good.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot more of an English barley wine or an old ale or something like that. Darn. Yeah, that is rich.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm not sure how much of it I can drink. It's just, it's chewy.
It's a bit of a sipper, and it's a little heavy in the body. It's got a little bit of that sweetness still in it.
Right, but I agree with you. Like, you know, big leather chair in front of a fire and nurse this for like an hour.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, as it warms up, it's going to be even that more malty. And...
I was trying to find any more information on their Instagram page, but I'm not finding anything about this beer, weirdly enough.
Oh, yeah?
I was really hoping to find a little more.
You mentioned it's not in bottles anymore? Or?
No, yeah, it was just the one-off
anniversary release.
Anniversary beer, and seems to be long gone now.
Yeah, this is high enough in alcohol that it could probably age nicely, too.
Oh, I would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting any oxidation, really, at all, personally.
No. And you can't taste the heat. The alcohol doesn't burn. It's not hot.
There's a hint of alcohol, I find, but not a burn.
I'm honestly not finding that either.
Really?
No. It's not really cluing you in.
I'm just going to set that over there to warm and come back to that in a bit.
Finish this one quickly.
Yeah, that's nice. Decadent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of their beers when I was there last, and the couple other beers that I got were also really tasty, so I was quite impressed.
Nice. Remind me again, what was the percentage on this?
This was 7.2.
Okay, so yeah, it's not crazy high.
I also had a collab beer they did. It's got a really nice label, but I can't remember what the beer's called.
Collab.
Yeah.
It's got Asian symbols.
Can I see that for a second?
One second, I just want to see if I can find. It was OC Collab.
Hmm.
Was it Golden Ale?
Golden Ale. It's another British style. You know what else this reminds me of? This reminds me of a base for a pumpkin spice beer.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Mm. I'm thinking this could
work.
That would be a really good pumpkin spice beer. Yeah,
that would be. Yeah, a really nice set of warming spices steeped in this would be fantastic.
You know?
You know what else this reminds me of is a Stein beer.
Because
a Stein beer is, again, basically...
You get those caramely notes.
And usually a bit lower alcohol than this, but it's basically a barley wine with no alcohol. You know? You know, 6% or so.
Yeah.
But that dropping in those hot rocks caramelizes all the malts.
Gives you that big toffee flavors.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this next one I actually got from Wild Ambition before they were ready to sell it. they hadn't actually received the proper label. So I have a nice fake label.
It was a label maker.
It's a label maker, yeah. Well, I walked into the brewery and they're like, "You're here. Holy crap. We've got a bottle for you." Because when we did our Wild Ambition episode, we talked about wanting to see these two of the beers blended together.
Yeah.
And it just happened that that was actually... in barrels already being worked on. And so when I walked into the brewery recently, they're like, "You got to take this bottle with you. Killer. We don't have the proper labels yet, though."
It's like synchronicity.
Yeah. So this is the Cadaver Synod Barrel Aged Oud Bruin with Balaton Sour Cherries.
Ooh.
And let me just look that up so I can find actual information on.
I'm just going to look up what a Balaton Sour Cherry is.
It's a certain variety of sour cherry.
Oh. Showing off the knowledge.
So yeah, that's funny that our favorite from them on that previous episode was a blend.
Yeah.
And even funnier that they were working on it independently without our suggestion.
Yeah, exactly.
And even funnier that you walked in when they were bottling it. That's pretty coincidental.
So it is 9.5% alcohol.
Ooh.
See here, the Cadaver Synod is a barrel-aged oud bruin style beer produced by blending three American oak wine barrels of dark sour that were fermented on 300 pounds of locally grown Balaton dark sour cherries from Jobsthof Orchards with two French oak wine barrels of a non-sour dark beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, just from Wikipedia, so take this with as much salt as you care to. The Balaton cultivar was first grown in the small Hungarian village of... I'm not even going to try to pronounce that.
That's a weird name.
U-J-F-E-H-E-R-T-O. You give it a shot.
Can I see it? We're about to...
Do it. Say it, Mike.
Oh.
You can do it.
No.
See? The communist government of post-war Hungary implemented a rigorous selection process to determine the best sour cherry varieties for planting in the nation's collective farms, and Balaton emerged as the winner.
Wow.
It was released commercially in Hungary in 1970. Dr. Amy Iazzoni, a horticultural researcher and cherry breeder at Michigan State University, introduced it in the U.S. in 1984.
Huh.
It was released commercially in the States in 1998. And it's named after Lake Balaton.
So this is the world's best communist sour cherry available.
Apparently, yes.
And people say there's nothing good about communism. We got a great sour cherry.
Right?
apparently, it's named after Lake Balaton because, to quote, "about the only thing an American can pronounce on a map of Hungary is Lake Balaton."
Oh, my God. I love that.
Based on that village name? Yeah, I buy that. I'm usually willing to give anything a try for pronunciation, but I don't know.
Holy fuck. We might be able to sell this to the Americans. Let's call it that. And I'm going to say probably the same for Canadians because holy shit. All right. There you go.
Oh, boy.
It's rising a little bit. Grab onto that.
There it comes. It's got some color. Wow. Yeah, this is it's rather.
And this is actually a wax dipped beer.
Oh, really?
This bottle isn't, but it is commercially a wax dipped beer.
So it looks bottle conditioned to me. It's rather cloudy.
That is it. I love the color on the head. That's, I don't know. It's darker than a tan, I think, but.
Yeah, it's that deep, deep amber, reddish, orangish kind of thing going on with an off-white head.
Definitely murky.
Woo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've got some, like,
getting some of that tart sour in the aroma.
Yeah, dark fruits and then chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Picking up that earthy, spicy thing.
Maybe some vanilla. It's definitely got some sweet notes.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's almost like not quite coconut, but getting towards that cocoa area.
There definitely is cherries in there too, but it's actually not as prevalent.
Not on the nose, at least. That, like, I agree. You can like you can smell cherry, almost maybe more of a dry cherry.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's definitely not the primary nose note.
No, but it's in there. It's in just there. That I'm
chocolate.
It up.
The chocolate is all over the place. And for a beer this color, that is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is tasty.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I'm getting that coconut cinnamon kind of thing.
Yeah, that is complicated.
It's almost like a sour Black Forest cake.
Yes.
A
little bit. Yes, yeah. Yeah, because that coconut could almost be a vanilla chocolate kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some chocolate notes in there. The sour cherry is way more on the flavor than it is the nose. But there's definitely chocolate in there. There is some vanilla or coconut.
And yeah, definitely that vanilla coconut chocolate. Wow. That is complex.
The tartness, though, cuts out the sweetness. Like, it's not really sweet. It's not like a pastry sweet. Thing no, going on. It
finishes
on.
Tart, if anything.
Yeah. Ooh.
That is amazing.
There's definitely, I think there's some sweet malts in there, too, that are coming through.
Yeah. Well, with that color, you're going to have some crystal malts in there that give you more of that toffee kind of thing. And that. This is delicious.
That is really, really, really good.
It's a bit different than I expected from the description.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not hating it in any way.
It's been a while, too, since we had that episode come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget what the base beers taste like now. But
yeah,
I'm glad we thought of that. I'm glad the brewery thought of that.
Clearly, it was the smart thing to do.
Because, yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, just enough of that sour in there to balance it out.
I swear that coconut is just building with every sip.
Yeah.
It's going less vanilla and more coconut now as
I sip. So, yeah. And it's got a nice texture to it, too. It's not, I wouldn't say it's quite creamy. It doesn't feel like an oat or a flake, but it's got some good roundness to it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I love what I've had from Wild Ambition so far. They make really tasty beer. I love the fact that they're basically a full Brett brewery for a small little brewery in Kelowna. It's not something you expect. And they keep doing great stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because there's a couple of these specialty wild breweries who have popped up in the last few years, right? You got the guys in North Vancouver there.
House of Funk, do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Then you got the guys on the island there.
Il Sauvage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we got one in the Okanagan.
Wild Ambition, yeah.
So, I mean, it's great to see these specialty guys popping up.
I would like to see, I would actually love, the Beer Farmers in Pemberton make really good beer. But I would love, because they're literally on a farm in the middle of nowhere in Pemberton, it's
farmhouse
quite
style.
A ways out of Pemberton. Like, I know it's still within the catchment of Pemberton, but
that's a lot of space.
It's like 15, 20 minutes out of town, down a rural road, and it's a beautiful little farmhouse brewery. It was originally a potato farm.
Yeah.
The mother was big into homebrewing, and she decided to open this brewery. I would love to see them push into these wild and everything beers, because that's where it really shines usually, is a farmhouse doing these like really farmhouse styles.
Yeah.
Look down in Texas with Jester King. I've never been there, but I've had their beers and I've seen pictures, and it's just middle of nowhere brewery that's making crazy funky farmhouse beers. Again, I've never had their beer, but Hill Farmstead out in the East Coast. They're supposed to be doing a similar thing, just crazy good farmhouse beers. I'd love to see that happen a little more there.
Yeah, that's a good idea if they're listening.
Yeah.
Give it a thought. Free yeast.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. This is probably the most interesting of the beers we've had here.
I think so, yeah.
I'm really liking this one.
Yeah, this one and the last one are just stunningly good. I'm really happy with these two.
We do this sometimes. Why don't we just decide, do you have a favorite beer out of the four beers here?
They're so different, that's difficult. But,
yeah, I agree. Yeah, you've got...
But that said, I'm liking this one.
You got a wheat ale, a saison.
I would call that an old ale.
Old ale or something. So,
yeah.
And then Oud Bruin.
Yeah, I'm liking this this barrel aged thing. The blend is fantastic. Oud Bruin, yeah. Tough it's call. So complex. It goes so many different places, but it's all working for me.
Yeah, the cadaver synod, you'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm tough call. If I have to call it, I'm calling it the Saskatoon Old Ale.
Yeah, the anniversary ale.
Just by a hair, but I'm loving the Oud Bruin. I agree with you. It takes you so many places, but I'm going to come back more often to the Old Ale. I'm going to come back and be like, this is just like nice.
Mm-hmm.
I probably prefer the Cadaver Synod from Wild Ambition as a one-off, like sit down and just have a beer. Mm. Although I could see myself drinking that anniversary ale from 9 Mile Legacy over and over again if it was available. I could see that being in my fridge all the time if it was a regularly available beer.
Okay.
So while I think the Cadaver Synod is probably a more interesting beer, and it'd be great to have a bottle maybe in the cellar or two and just bring it out once in a while, I could keep drinking the other one. Right. And which is good too, because I love barley wines, and it's not good for your liver to drink barley wines all the time.
It's really not.
That one's only 7.2%. So, you can drink that fairly often.
That is one of the points that slanted in my favor, because I like barley wines. I can't drink them very much. And that one I could drink more regularly and still get sort of the barley wine experience.
That means that coming up when it's barley wine season, we need to collect a bunch of barley wines and do another episode on barley wines.
I'm getting close on that vertical of Moody Imperial Russian Stouts as well.
Good, yeah.
You want to hit the Barley Wine Festival in Alaska with me?
I'd love to, yeah.
That sounds fantastic. I'm pretty sure I can't do it.
I went to one down in Portland at Brower's once.
Oh, yeah.
It was a two-day deal, and that was friggin' marathon. That was ugly.
But I'd try to sprint it.
I can see you doing that. I have a vivid picture in my head of you going, yep, that's good, next one. Yep, that's good, next one.
Yeah, you gotta pace yourself at that.
Yep, that's good.
I have never seen Mike pace himself at these things.
Barley Wine Fest is a different story, man.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful. All right. Well, let's round it up again. We had the Wood Crush from Twin Sails out of Port Moody.
Very good raspberry wheat.
Howlin' Growlin' Love from Love Shack Libations, Howl Brewing, and the Growler.
You gotta love Shack.
Yeah. Good stuff. And then we had the Anniversary Ale from 9 Mile Legacy out of Saskatoon.
So-ish.
And we finish it up with the Wild Ambition Cadaver Synod Barrel-Aged Oud Bruin with Balaton Sour Cherries.
My favorite.
Damn good.
Thanks for tuning in. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. Helps us upgrade our equipment, pay for our hosting, and trying to do new and interesting things. So,
trip to New Brunswick.
Exactly. Or Alaska. So shout out to our Patreon supporters at Indie Beer Show out of San Diego, California, and Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Cheers. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.